Today on the Bitcoin Nova, I'm speaking to one of the first people I met on X, Michelle. We talk about the beginning of our Bitcoin community and the power of being seen. She is now a leader in the Bitcoin army and uses her platform to uplift others, spread Bitcoin knowledge and inspiration. We talk about the feeling of weight and how it's the process to becoming something unbreakable. If you like my content, please like the video, subscribe, and leave a comment. And don't forget to check out Satoshis. There are over 45 styles to choose from. You could even contact Satoshis for custom designs. Use my code in the description below for 10% off your order. I want to talk about the tweet where you said Elon tweets about Bitcoin by July 30th.
Yeah. I said that like a week ago.
Okay.
And it was because, you know, I have just thoughts about why, like with the whole bromance between him and Trump and like how he can best screw Trump. First, I thought, okay, he's going to go, like if the best way to stick it to him would be to do a Dogecoin, like pump Dogecoin again and get everybody all riled around that and away from Bitcoin. And then I just kept thinking about, you know, the man likes attention and there's no better group to give you some big attention than the Bitcoin group. And I just kept seeing like little different tweets and somebody had posted, when are you going to do the Bitcoin tweet or something like that to Elon? And I say, I bet he does it by the end of July. I'm just making up stuff.
Yeah.
Just making up stuff.
It's interesting because somebody commented on his post, will the America Party embrace Bitcoin? And he said, fiat is hopeless. So yes.
Yeah.
So it looks like your bet is probably possible.
Totally coincidental. I was like, look at that.
My ideas were, he knows that government spending is out of control and he wants to make an impact with Doge and he doesn't see that happening.
I do think, you know, Trump keeps saying he's upset because they're rolling back mandates on EV. There's something to that because, you know, Elon was a big liberal for a very long time. He voted Democrat. They gave him a lot of money. And then I think some things happened with his firstborn and this woke mindset, or what does he call it? The woke, whatever. He's very anti-woke after whatever happened to his child. And then he went like full on Trump, MAGA. And I think with that big, beautiful bill, not only did it like slap him in the face because he's supposed to be trying to cut government spending and, you know, be focused on government efficiency. And meanwhile, they, you know, behind his back passed this bill with, you know, all this future spending, $5 trillion. I think it's a combination of both. I think it was a slap in the face because, you know, he was put in this role to try to reduce the spending. But I think the bigger thing is what Trump is saying, that he's pissed off about the mandates on EV.
He was maybe under the impression that he was being attacked maybe from the other administration. Sometimes I could see why, because he was buying Twitter and because of Choke Point 2.0 and he was, you know, promoting Doge at that time and all of crypto was attacked and then he decided to buy Twitter and, you know, he was being attacked for that. He probably just felt the previous administration didn't like him and didn't give him the EV mandates. So he thought, hey, if I back this guy and, you know, I'll stop being attacked by politicians. So he was just under the wrong impression. But, you know, now he's pissed off about the big, beautiful bill. He's pissed off that they're going to continue to undermine his efforts to cut spending. And then so it was kind of nice to see that tweet from somebody who has a big voice for
100%. One thing, too, I want to say about the big, beautiful bill, because, of course, I've been with family the last couple of days because of 4th of July and all that. And you hear people talk about politics and that sort of thing. And the big, beautiful bill probably came up 100 times. And what folks are doing are just arguing the semantics of the bill and what programs get funded and what programs get taken away. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I don't care what programs get funded under the bill. It's all money printing. It's all contributing to this big bubble that's going to eventually pop. And even us as Bitcoiners, we want to see the world get denominated in Bitcoin. But in order for that to happen, it means deflation has to happen. And that means that when the bubble pops, people are going to get hurt and people are going to lose jobs and people are going to lose their houses and that sort of thing. And so it won't. And of course, folks will understand, okay, this is hard money and you need to, you know, get that flight to safety. But in the meantime, they still won't understand what happened. They still won't understand.
Yeah.
And they'll be blaming politicians again for not funding certain programs that they want or whatever that looks like instead of the real problem. So I think our role in being Bitcoiners is, how do we educate? We have to get the word out about what is money before we even start talking about Bitcoin.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that I've talked to some people that they actually are professors and they're actually teaching about Bitcoin and blockchain technology in colleges. So that's getting a little bit of traction now, which because so much about what people learn about Bitcoin is through through places like X or through YouTube. And a lot of the traditional education systems don't teach a thing about money. They teach about credit and debt and stuff like that. They don't teach about, you know, your time and your energy spent working and how you save that, you know. So the base, you know, layer of what is money, you know, just understanding first principles, it's now starting to be taught at a university level, which is so important because people that are going to school for finance should 100% be learning about this. But even anybody should learn about this in college. Like if you're able to learn about Bitcoin on YouTube, you should be able to learn about Bitcoin at a university level and be very, very educated on it. For the money you're spending, you should know the truth.
Yeah. What about high schoolers? Do you think they should?
Yeah. Well, I think when I was in high school, I remember learning about, you know, balancing a checkbook and stuff like that. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I don't know if they teach that now. I remember doing that and I thought, okay, they're trying to teach about that, but they're not telling you about the history of money. You know, like you should learn, like when they talk about history lessons and like what's being taught in school, it's not just balancing a checkbook. It's about history of currencies, like how currencies evolved, what they are, and then now what Bitcoin is and how it's different and how, you know, spending your time doing anything, work, any sort of anything you get in exchange for your time, you're getting a currency in exchange for that time spent. So your time is really your, you know, that's what should be taught. It should be taught, what is your time? And if time is money, time is valuable. Those are all things that should be discussed. And I think that high schoolers would benefit from learning that. I think it's only a matter of time before it's a mainstream thing in high schools in America.
Yeah, I think if too many kids or young adults start learning about money, then it will pull this veil.
Yeah.
And people will be able to peek behind the veil to see what's going wrong with us. So they have definitely not motivated to want to teach children.
That's what I think too. There's no incentive. The system is currently working for the people in charge and the people that benefit from the inflation. As things start to shift and change, you know, I think that that will be something that will have to be taught. Like there's no more reason to say there's no incentive when it's a necessity at some point to actually teach this. It's just, I think, inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. And even now, like, you know, we talk about greedy politicians and everybody else who's being propped up by the system and it works for them. The more and more I look into this, I think it's some of it is about that, but some of it is about not even like the system is so corrupt and we're having to print more and more money in order to keep it propped up that the biggest threat is not the rich folks losing their money. The biggest threat is if people wise up and start saving their money and put it into hard assets like Bitcoin, even gold. And they're not spending that money and they're not creating credit to keep the economy going, then everything fails. So they have to use all these tools to keep everything going. And the biggest threat is that people find out and flee to safety. That's the biggest threat.
That is the biggest threat. And also when you think about the boomers are the most gullible generation, you know, so when you have people that have been fooled by this and think that they're good citizens if they do this and follow the rules and do everything that they're told and they believe the narratives, they fall for clickbait, you know, they fall for a lot of the stuff. The new generation of the young people growing up, they're not fooled like the older generation is. So they're able to see truth a lot easier. They're more able to change and they can cut through all that bullshit. So I think that it's kind of, you know, you could say what you want about young people, but they see real, you know, I think they do.
I have a lot of faith in young folks. I think they're going to save us.
Yeah.
They're going to save us from ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, they have the entire internet at their disposal. They have so much information available so young, and they can learn so much faster than we ever did. Like, we took forever to learn because we didn't have the tools. You know, now they have literally the world at their fingertips. So they can learn and adapt and change and find information more than anybody else. Even if they don't teach it in schools, they're going to find out truth anyway.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to talk to you about too was your post that you made. It resonated with me and with a lot of Bitcoiners. You talked about what it was like to have to make a decision between buying food and paying your rent. We had that feeling of feeling embarrassed to ask for help to make ends meet, is what you said. And then that's what you said drives you for being accountable and helping bring other people up and showing them the way to Bitcoin and showing them that there is a way out of that feeling. Do you sometimes feel like, when you look back at your life, which a lot of us came from, you know, similar situations when we had, you know, we didn't have hope and it was like a dark, bleak, like you didn't have hope for the future, you know? Do you feel like when you look back, is it sort of like a parallel universe, or do you feel like that was like a past life that you're looking at? Does it even feel real?
Actually, this life doesn't feel real to me, because, you know, everything I thought was real when I was younger was really the facade, but it was real to me. Like, I remember being a young adult thinking to myself, and I had 3 jobs at one time, still struggling to make ends meet. And I had been on my own since I was 18. But I just remember saying, how the hell do you get ahead? I have 3 fucking jobs and I'm struggling to pay this bill. And I was never like fancy or tried to go out there and buy everything, never had brand new cars, anything like that. I was just, you know, paycheck to freaking paycheck for a long period of time in my life. And it was painful. I was embarrassed all the time. I will never forget it. It doesn't leave me. So now that I'm so-called successful and I've got money, I don't have to worry about, you know, paycheck to paycheck and paying, you know, basic bills and needs and necessities. I just remind myself, don't forget that there are people out there that are still struggling and they need to know how to pull themselves out of that. And even when I started to make money, I was still like one paycheck away from being broke because I didn't understand like how to preserve my wealth and how to like store my time and energy. I didn't understand that at all. I didn't understand money. So I feel like me being introduced to Bitcoin was a freaking gift. And the further I move into a Bitcoin lifestyle, the better off my life becomes. So for me, it just really drives me to make sure that I'm like, first of all, I don't think I'm the smartest person in the world. I'm not even the second, third, or fourth. But the skills I do have is I know how to bring people together. Like, it's just what I do. And so if I can bring the smart folks together like you and all of our friends in the Bitcoin army and help to amplify those voices, then they will reach the people that need to be heard. Because we talk about this, that need to hear the message. We talk about this all the time, which is, you know, you may have a point of view and a way of speaking about Bitcoin that resonates for certain people. I may have a way that resonates for different people. But it takes a collective voice to reach the masses. And I believe that's what we're trying to do. And my role in that is to bring them all together, give you a platform so we can amplify the voice.
Yeah, and that's exactly true. That's, you know, everyone together is doing this because they remember where they came from. They remember the pain. They remember the hopelessness. They want to reach their hand out and grab somebody out of that hole, you know, that they're stuck in. And they want to show them that there's a way. You know, you can't win if you don't play the game. You know, you have to play the game. And we want people to feel like we're feeling, because we know what it was like. And that's why we're trying to reach more people, so that they can see that, you know, fiat is theft and Bitcoin is the answer. It's the shield, you know, so that's why we do what we do. And you having that gift of bringing people together is part of that spectrum of Bitcoiners that we have. We have all different types of Bitcoiners, and yours creating community, building community, showing people there's a place where they can be seen and shared and to reach others. You know, that's the whole point of this, is not just to be in our own bubble and just keep this Bitcoin army on X closed and have it just to be like a group of us that all just only talk to each other. We want to reach others outside of that that group. You know, we want to bring more people in to help them, you know, so that's the whole point. So yeah, what you're doing is incredible. And what I think that your journey reminds me of is when people talk about pressure creating diamonds. If you're feeling the weight, you're in the process of becoming something unbreakable. That's the way that you get there. You know, you need to go through that. I don't think you find Bitcoin unless you have some sort of struggle. A lot of the people feeling the pain now in the world and feeling the way you felt, that's the way a lot of people are feeling right now. Even though there's lies about the economy saying the job market is so strong, that's because maybe people have two or three jobs each. Are they taking that into account?
And that's because there are a lot of government jobs are created, by the way, not actual real jobs.
Right. Yeah, government jobs where they could just like siphon more fiat, you know, through it. People that are feeling the pain, which is increasing every time inflation increases, every time money is printed. Now with this big, beautiful bill and more spending happening, more people will feel that pain. And the more people get to that breaking point is when you find or when you have that much pressure build up. I think that's when they turn into these diamonds. That's what reminds me of your story. And it's something that is very relatable. But another thing, I always end up watching movies or TV shows, or I feel like everything in the world reminds me of Bitcoin somehow, or reminds me of theft or lies somehow. But my daughter, she's almost 10, and she had us watch this movie called K-pop Demon Hunters. And it's funny because I just saw it. I had seen your post and I was waiting to share. I wanted to share your post for when we did our podcast. And the lyrics in some of these songs are something that reminds me of your story and about how a lot of Bitcoiners feel. One of the lyrics says, "Okay, I tried to fix it. I tried to fight it. I didn't know why I didn't trust you to be on my side." That part reminds me of why didn't we trust when we heard about Bitcoin or Satoshi? Why didn't we believe in that? Why did we think that it was a scam? You know, that part of it. Yeah. And then the next part is, "I broke into a million pieces and I can't go back, but now I'm seeing all the beauty in the broken glass."
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you look back at that pain and you appreciate your journey and you know, what brought you here. And then the next part says, "The scars of part of me, darkness and harmony, my voice without the lies, this is what it sounds like." You needed that despair to find Bitcoin and hope.
Yeah. Did you hear so when I heard about Bitcoin, I immediately got it to an extent. I won't say I didn't fully understand, but I got why it's important. Because years prior, I was with my ex-husband and our bank account was frozen. And again, I'm paycheck to paycheck. And I had like one credit card with a very small limit. And so it like completely devastated us for a minute. And at that moment, like I made like several commitments, like this is never happening to me again. And then fast forward, I was introduced to Bitcoin through a friend who was trying to sell me some multi-level marketing scheme. And I was listening, I'm like, but he knew enough to know, like, to connect the dots for me about sovereignty and that Bitcoin didn't require an intermediary. And I was like, hold on, what? So it like that whole experience of my struggle of my bank account being frozen, it came into play when I first heard about Bitcoin. So I immediately bought it, but I didn't buy it through the multi-level marketing. I found Coinbase and bought it on Coinbase. But yeah, you're 100% right. What we need to do is help people articulate what struggle they're having and like, what is their financial pain point or just their life pain point? And 9 times out of 10, we can find a way that Bitcoin fixes it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was that, it was the sovereignty.
Yeah. And you can't have when you hear your bank account is frozen with Bitcoin, you know, especially self-custody and cold storage where you don't have it on an exchange. That is the true gift of Bitcoin is you control it. You're your own bank. No one can tell you what you could do with that. You're free from anyone controlling your money, you know? So that's true. That's your breaking point. That's your threshold of pain. That's something that spoke to you about why Bitcoin is, it literally spoke to your experience. You know, it actually gave you an answer for your problem and something that upset you and broke you and made you feel like you have no control. Literally Bitcoin gives you your control back.
100%. And that's why you hear me say a lot of times, one of my taglines or sound bites is there's nothing more important than my sovereignty. Like gains don't matter to me. I don't need more money. I have everything I want.
Right.
So what I want is to fully break free and be 100% sovereign and self-sufficient and not have to rely on any systems that can take something from me.
Right. And that can happen anywhere. And you don't want to be part of that. You don't want to experience that ever again. It's definitely a really good reason for most people to want to take control of that. And yeah, that's a really scary feeling and nobody wants that. That's what Bitcoin gives us, you know?
Yeah.
The next part of the song reminds me of the Bitcoin Army. So it's like part of it is your journey and part of it is the Bitcoin Army. And sorry if I'm reading all this, but I think it's just cool.
No, you're good.
So it says, we're shattering the silence. We're rising defiant, shouting in the quiet. You're not alone. None of us are out here on our own. We're not heroes. We're still survivors, the dreamers, the fighters, not lying. I'm tired, but dive in the fire and I'll be right there by your side.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, that's exact. That probably describes us to a T.
Yeah. I mean, I literally, I'm not joking. I say I get goosebumps every time with my podcast, but that does, like, I didn't get them when I read it, but now that I'm reading it to you and seeing your reaction, isn't that cool? It's like the first part is you and the second part is the Bitcoin Army. So it's like, it's just perfect that I just saw this movie like 2 days ago. So I'm just like, I had to, but it's so true. But I like how it's like, we're not heroes. We're survivors. We are. Dive in the fire. I'll be right there by your side. It's like, yeah. That's what it is. Like we're... Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're laser eyes, we're all in, and we're together, you know? So I don't know, I'm like, who would have thought that a K-pop Demon Hunter movie would be so inspirational? And there's another song. Okay, this is a short part. This mm-hmm. is not a long one. I won't read like a whole lot. But the next song is called Free. But it says, we can't fix it if we never face it. Let the past be the past till it's weightless. What if we find a way to escape it? We could be free. So that's another great, like, it's so Bitcoin, you know, it's
Bitcoin.
You know, we have to face the past. We can't just, you know, it will never go away. It's always part of us. You are where you came from. But then when you find hope, it does feel weightless. And then you're free when you find that escape. I know this is a movie about K-pop and demon hunters, but I'm like, it's so Bitcoin. You know, that's just the way my mind thinks. I'm like, they're probably a Bitcoiner that wrote this.
You know, like we said, Gen Z is going to save us. I mean, it's just the mindset of that generation is so cool. You know, we're boom and doom or doom and boom or whatever we call it. And they're just such different thinkers. I think there's hope for the world because of our newest generation of people.
Yeah, and that's what's awesome too. It ties this back to what we were talking about earlier perfectly, because this was probably not written by some boomer. It was probably written by a young person. And even though it doesn't mention Bitcoin, it really feels like Bitcoin when you hear it. Even if you're not a Bitcoiner, you would hear that song and you would think it feels empowering. You know, you would think like, yeah, what if I could find an answer? What if, you know, what if I could be right there with somebody who would stand by me and all this stuff? You know, it's like all these messages are just something that people are like, yeah, I'd like that, you know?
That's right.
Something that gets people thinking. Maybe if they're stuck in this hopelessness, when you hear an inspirational song, it gets the wheels turning for you to think, what if I could find that answer? You know? So it's kind of like a weird, subtle orange pill for people to.
You're making me think too, like, we need a good Bitcoin song. Like, there's mm-hmm. some good songs out there, but nothing like really compelling to make you want to listen to it and then, you know, decipher the words. And
yeah,
we need like a banger Bitcoin song for real. Maybe George should work on that.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, maybe he should sing this and add Bitcoin to it.
Yes.
In his male voice. That's so good.
Yes, all smooth.
Yeah, and just like add those little parts, like somehow we can add Bitcoin into it to actually make it like the Bitcoin song.
We can have a real Bitcoin anthem, very related to the army ethos. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thinking about being tired of all the pain and young people feeling the pain. And that's probably why songs like this are coming out in movies, if it's written by a younger person, because it's not just about being rich. It's about not having a comfortable enough life to create a life. They don't have enough money to feel comfortable starting a family.
Right. So, like, as soon as you finish school, you're already indebted to that education.
Yeah.
And it will take you years to advance enough or to make enough money to make up for that. And then while that's happening, if your loans aren't deferred and all this stuff, you're accumulating interest on those. Like, it's like the biggest trap. So I always, like, I told my kids, what do you want to do with your life? You don't have to know specifically, but you should know directionally what you want to do. And if what you want to do requires a degree, then we'll do that. If what you want to do doesn't, then get the work experience. Work as an apprentice under someone. and you'll go a lot faster and you won't have the debt behind it.
People 100% resonate with that because you guys even held a space on X for the Bitcoin Army, and it was about that. It was about college or Bitcoin. Like, do you think that you would suggest college to your kids? Do you think college is necessary? Do you think that just working any job and just saving it in Bitcoin would save you?
Rob was hosting.
He had made a post about it and he got like 2 million plus.
It's up to 4.5 million.
My God.
Yeah. So that definitely resonated. And I looked through the repost too, like nobody big reposted it. It was all organic. It was all just plebs in there just having a conversation, truly interested in the topic, having a point of view. Like, that was awesome.
That was. And it's like, look at the power that that kind of a message had. That shows you that that's a topic that people, young people or parents, you know, giving their kids suggestions about their life or the future, giving them advice. That post means a lot to people and shows with the impressions that it had. So you guys holding a space for that was incredible because you're actually letting people speak and share their thoughts about it. That's something that, you know, this is a big topic in life. When so many kids finish college, they get this degree, they have zero real life experience. Then they try to get a job and they look for experience, but now you have none because you were in school your whole life. And so literally you're starting at an apprentice level anyway, just to get your foot in the door, even with a degree. So it's not like just because you finish school, you're automatically going to make good money. You still don't know anything. Like, when I finished beauty school, I felt like I was terrified. I was ready to do my first client and I was so scared. And I was scared for like a year before I felt like I had confidence and experience. So you literally can finish school and know nothing, you know, by the time you get out there. So people don't want to hire somebody with no experience. So if you, like you said, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a certain career that needs that degree, yes, you need to follow that 100% and go for it. If it's your passion, I think. But if it's not your passion, you don't do something just because it makes you money. People should follow their passion and save in Bitcoin, and then you'll be okay.
That's right. Because what's really important, and you know, when we were in school, Stacey, they gave us like a sheet of paper and said, these are all the different types of jobs that exist, and this is how much money they make. And we basically wanted to pick the career path that made the most amount of money, like that we were slightly interested in, but we were looking at how much money. That's the wrong way to present that to a child. What makes people happy and creates, you know, a joyful life is when they can find meaning, purpose, and they have a contribution, a significant contribution in society. You can say all you want to say, but that's what drives us as humans. Right. So even if we're like invested in Bitcoin and we have millions in Bitcoin and all that stuff, if you don't have meaning, purpose, and contribution, mm-hmm. then your life still falls short. So I think you think about what is going to give you that and how can you build a career around it.
Right.
Then you worry about, and the money will come.
That's true. Because even when you think about somebody who, let's say, there's different things you have to think about. Like, you go to be a doctor and you're making good money, but now you are tied to your job. You're kind of a slave to your job. You have to, like a lot of doctors, they don't have sleep. You know, they're very deprived of sleep. Then you're pretty much just at home to enjoy your beautiful house at night, aren't working, and then you go right back to work. So you literally live at your hospital. You live where you work. You don't really get to enjoy life. Is that really... Like, some people are like that. They have to work. They love work. They want to be there all the time. But if that's not you, and if you think you're going to do a job just to make money, you're going to go home, look for more stuff to buy to fill this void, to have all these things around you and fill up your house with stuff, and it still won't make you happy. You're going to feel empty still. But doctors, obviously, you could feel that's rewarding. You know, if it's a rewarding job, you feel like, okay, I saved people. You know, that makes me feel good about myself. But if you're doing a job that doesn't make you feel like good about what you've done and contributed to somebody else, it doesn't feel good. It feels like you're a robot. Like, you feel like you're just, you know, now I have this office job that I thought would be my answer because it makes good money, but I'm sitting here like literally an NPC and I'm working at this desk and I'm like, just, you know, what am I? It's exactly. Like the rat race.
And what happens is people, they hold themselves back because what people do is it's the rat race. They're chasing probably money. They haven't done the work to figure out what is it that they want to do and what are they good at doing. And so instead of like having like a semi straight line to success, they just go sideways. Sideways movement for like 20, 30 years. And they look back and they say, what the hell happened? And it's two things. You didn't pick what you really wanted to do, or you let somebody talk you out of it. period. Mm-hmm. And then, so what you did is you went in several directions trying to find what you wanted to do when you should have just kept it simple and picked mm-hmm. what you like to do and what you're good at doing and just go in that direction. It doesn't even have to be a perfect job that you pick. Just go in that direction. I wish more people would do that.
Yeah, because if you think about somebody like even in your position where you're like, okay, I'm working 3 jobs, I'm trying to make ends meet and I can't get ahead. If you're just not finding Bitcoin or not finding the way out that actually saves your time, you're literally stuck in that maze and you're stuck in that place where you're wasting your time. You know, you're like, even if you don't make much money in a job, even if it's something you're passionate about, but you don't make a lot, Bitcoin anyway teaches you to live a simpler life because you realize the value of Bitcoin. You don't want to waste your money that you could be, you know, collecting more of this, like saving your money in this where it's actually going to grow. It actually teaches you to save money. So yeah. You don't want to waste as much on stupid things you don't need. So even if you go back to the point where you choose a passion and you don't go to college and you say, okay, this thing doesn't make me a lot of money, but I love what I do. Even if you don't make a lot, you just have to be more minimalist and think about, you know, do I really need these things to make me happier? Will spending my time the way I choose make me the most happy? And then whatever you can, you know, put in Bitcoin for people that think they're too late to the game, you know, you're never too late because money will always be printed. That means Bitcoin always goes up. Whatever you're making, just put some savings, you know, it teaches you how to save again, you know, and that's what it is.
And people don't save like they used to. So it does, like, it kind of brings back that old basic rule, just a penny wise is a penny saved. And then, but you do it through Bitcoin. And then you look back and you see the fruits of your sacrifice and labor by just that delayed gratification starts to manifest, you know, differently in your life. And if you're running around chasing, you don't even allow anything to manifest. So I think there's a big lesson in just like chill out, figure out what it is you want to do, spend some time there. And then once you get it, hustle, because abundance will find you. This I know. Once you're really clear on what you want to do and you keep moving in that direction, the abundance finds you. And then you can easily take the excess, because once you also discover Bitcoin, you learn that there is excess. You don't need all that stuff, like you said. And that excess starts to go into Bitcoin. And it all works together like a much more beautiful life.
This made me really feel like you got me thinking, you know, so when you think about that manifestation and when you think about being in that state of chase all your life and you're always chasing and you're never getting ahead, but that's why that pressure, once that pressure builds up enough that turns you into a diamond, it's that whole idea of you are always in that state of chase. You're in the rat race mode, you're trying. And then when you hit that breaking point, that boiling point, that pressure point, it's almost like you let go. Like you let go of the wheel, you give up almost. Yeah. So it's like once you feel like you're at that point where you're broken or at a loss, I can't get ahead of, you literally get to a hopeless point, like where you're just thinking like, what do I do? You know, and that's, I think when you let go is almost when you're not in that state of chase anymore, because you kind of stop trying. And then you find Bitcoin. It's almost like that's when the abundance, like you said, abundance comes to you. When you just stop thinking like, all right, I guess this is, I'm just going to go. I can't worry all the time. I can't, you know, I'm done. I'm tired. And that's when I think a lot of people get to that point. And then all of a sudden they start to think, well, maybe I should look at Bitcoin. That's crazy how that works. Like you get, I think once you slow down, that's when you truly become free. You know, it's crazy.
And now you can appreciate it.
Yeah.
As you can reflect back and realize how much better off you are. And that's really where my post came from, the appreciation of where I am now and why I'm where I'm at. I'll just never forget it. And it really does drive me to share something that will get somebody else there, that'll change their life too.
Yeah. That's rewarding. When you think about doing something that gives back or something that makes you feel good, like you feel good because you're helping people, and you're helping people by showing them Bitcoin, by helping them find that answer. That's why you do what you do. That's why you inspire people. That's why you grow this community. And you do it because you want other people to find it. You know, you're doing it because it's not like a selfish thing. It's not like you're doing it to make yourself feel good. You just want everyone to experience what you're experiencing. You want people to know that you feel free where you used to feel trapped.
Yeah. And the other thing is, So the other thing that drives me is I know that people have a message and there's smart people out here and they think about Bitcoin in different ways that other people need to know about. Their ideas, other people need to know about them. And those people inspire me. And I love when I'm able to give, like, amplify someone's voice and they finally get to be heard. Like, I just imagine how that must feel for them. Because I remember when I didn't have a voice and when I finally was heard, you know, in my life in different ways, how that felt for me. So that part probably means more to me than anything. Allowing people to finally be heard is beautiful.
Yeah. Thinking back to all the years I spent on X and all the years that you were on X, and I don't know how many years you were on it before we actually started connecting and creating these communities, but that's how I felt. I felt like I was just journaling on X, just sharing thoughts. And it was just, I'm just putting this out there just to do it, just to, it was like my own personal like scrapbook of ideas and thoughts that nobody ever saw.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're like, no one's going to see this. Like my husband used to ask me, you're tweeting. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it's like, well, like just me and him. That's all that's on it. But until you start reaching out to people, until like you do what you do, where you reach out to others and you show them that you saw something that they did that you appreciate, until we started doing that, me and you, like we started doing that back in December. And that was, I remember even when I started doing that to other people, I'm sure you were the same way. I would do that. And then I think we both had like the same idea at the same time. We just had this idea. Let's connect, let's engage with people, whatever. And then when people started commenting on my post, I was like, what the heck? I'm like, someone even liked my post. I was like, I got a like one like. I'm like, who did that?
Who liked it?
Yeah. I was like checking my one like to be like, who the heck was that? That's crazy. Like, it was so mind blowing that somebody saw it and you felt like, wow, I got heard. Just thinking about where we came from that. Cause even though we don't have like the biggest accounts on X, we still have grown so much since December. Just knowing that we used to get so excited about that one thing or that one comment or somebody sharing their first GIF with you. You're like, I have a friend. Somebody shared a GIF. Like, oh my God, they understand me. Yeah, like somebody understands me.
Yeah. It was like I remember distinctly the first time it happened to me, Stacey. The person that that jumped onto one of my posts and like I was blown away because people were following him and that there was a whole thread under my post was Echoes of Thought.
Yeah.
Yes. I will never forget Echoes because it was like they took me under their wing and then like I started posting and every post I did, they would like and comment. So that's I felt crazy. Like I had visibility and I was like, well, I'll do this to people too.
You and Echoes and A and like, oh my God, there's so many, but there was like everybody who's a moderator in the Bitcoin Army, but there's so many people that we can go back and find our original post where we tagged everybody. But there was like a whole group of people initially that once it grew a little bit, it grew a lot. You know, people were like all appreciating the way we appreciated that somebody saw it. We're just like, no way. Like we're a part of this group where anyone likes it. You know, it's like, you're just happy.
It was just energy. Like energy attracts energy.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about signal. I think we over sensationalize the words signal. Everything's a signal. But there was this positive, real energy going on. And I was just amazed at how many people had that same positive and real energy. Like there's so many like-minded folks that are still with us today. Like we still act the fool all
yeah,
the time.
Right. I know we laugh. And especially I love that we can laugh about things that we all understand because some people can't joke about the same stuff we joke about. So we actually have people that get the jokes. Something we think is hilarious. People would just look at you like you're an alien. Like if we're like, ah, did you see what Jerome Powell said? Like people are like, what? Like, I don't care. Or Peter Schiff or whoever. Yeah. But it's like we can joke about these things. And, oh, we actually have people that get it. But like, look at the evolution of this. It's like energy attracts energy. But like the evolution of us first finding each other and finding these groups, it turned into, you know, me sharing this voice, sharing other people's voices on my show. And then now us finally getting to talk. Like I had to cancel a couple months ago because my mom was sick and I felt so sad I had to cancel, but I was like not in the right state of mind. And I wanted this to be a good one. I'm not going to rush it. You know, I'm like, it's better if we wait till we're able to reschedule. So it's like the timing is right. Look at the timing with you know, your post and with Elon looking like he might make your bet come true. And with me watching that K-pop movie that reminds me of you, it's like all these things. It's like it was meant to be now, I think, that we're doing this. And it turned into this. It turned into us having this talk, which is an incredible conversation. And I can't wait till people hear it, because it's like, it's crazy how two people, whenever you get together and talk with another Bitcoiner, you know, you find out, you know, just not their journey, but like their passion and how they want to help others and inspire others. And it's just like such a uplifting conversation and relatable, you know, to so many people. So this is what it turned into. It turned into like from somebody liking my post to us getting to talk like this and share with our community who look at us both like leaders. I saw Rob comment on something I shared today, the one that wrote that awesome college or Bitcoin 4 million impression post. He commented saying he's been waiting for this for months and he's looking forward to it. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. Like they love hearing you speak. You know, I know you've been on a couple podcasts recently. I did want to be the first, you know, and I'm sorry that didn't happen. Okay. But I think the timing was right. And this is was meant to be now. And I'm so happy. And I'm so glad you joined me today. And I can't wait to see if your bet comes true. I'm going to keep an eye out on that.
I think it will. That's how things work.
I know. I think it'll be like the most entertaining outcome is the most likely, right?
So yeah, it is.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
I'll see you on X.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.